Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We are joined this morning to help us unpack the science, the implications of this development. We're joined by Dr. Anton Meiberg. He is a specialist physician and pulmonologist. He is, of course, my co-host for the weekly checkup every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Dr. Anton Meiberg, good morning. Nice to speak to you on a Thursday. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Fine, thanks, and you. And I see you having a bit of trouble pronouncing the name.
I thought I did it magnificently. Nobody can fact check me on it aside from you. What is that name?
The name is Orforglipron. It's an awful name.
Awful. Awful terrible. Indeed. But what is – so just tell us, for people unfamiliar, tell us where we are in terms of GLP-1s and injections and in terms of that development, and then let's move on to talk about the possibility of taking it in a pill form.
So at the moment, we're still in stage 3 trials for the triple receptor GLP-1. At the moment, most people know the injectable drugs known as Wegovy or Ozempic or Mounjaro. And Mounjaro is the dual receptor, which is the double receptor which you use for injectables. But there's still the triple dose medication that has not been approved yet, but is still a stage 3 trial workup medication. So now what's happened is there's an oral medication, and that's called the semaglutide, which is similar to the Ozempic injection, but it's an oral one. And that's a class of GLP-1, which is your glucagon-like peptide. And that mimics your gut hormone, GLP-1, which is released soon after eating. So that hormone signals fullness in your brain, it slows digestion and stimulates the release of insulin. What's happened now, there's now stage 3 trials for this new one, Orforglipron. That's also a once-daily oral tablet, which shows better weight loss and blood sugar improvements than this oral semaglutide. The difference between the oral semaglutide and the Orforglipron is that, albeit that the oral semaglutide is very effective, it needs to be taken on an empty stomach. So you have to actually wait 30 minutes before eating and drinking. And of course, it's very expensive. It has a very poor bioavailability versus the injectable one, and the absorption isn't as good. So the advantage of this Orforglipron, it's been shown to decrease your actual weight loss compared to the oral semaglutide, but it also has marked side effects. So it does cause nausea, it does cause vomiting and diarrhea, and it's a very different molecule to your oral semaglutide, because your Orforglipron was what we call a small molecule drug. Therefore, it will be cheaper than your oral semaglutide, which is actually a peptide drug. So the beauty of these drugs also is they don't require refrigeration, whereas your injectable ones require refrigeration. And then it's also, you know, you take a once a weekly injectable drug, or you take
and then
a
you
daily
kind of forget
drug.
About it, yeah, which obviously is a bit of an advantage. So just so that I can understand this, the one that's available that they're rolling out in the UK or wherever that is
That's the oral semaglutide.
And that is like the Ozempic. In other words, only one of the factors, right? In other words,
that's correct. So that's your single one. That only works on your GLP-1 receptor.
Right.
That's your glucagon-like peptide, not on your glucagon-like.
So it's almost older. It's actually older technology with technologies. I don't have the right word, but it's the first generation of GLP-1s that they've now moved into an
oral market.
Yes.
So, and as I say, it's not as I don't think it's as good as the injectable drug. It's not for people who want, or put it in inverted commas, a better fix, you know?
Right.
But it's a drug that needs to be taken every single day without eating on an empty stomach. You have to wait 30 minutes before eating or drinking. So it becomes quite an issue.
I read an article, I think either yesterday or the day before, about the percentage of people in the United States that are now on GLP-1s, and the fact that it is already starting to impact on obesity numbers. What are you seeing? What are you seeing there? What are you seeing here?
So look, even never mind the USA, the UK, all over the world, people are taking these injectable drugs. I mean, they're doing huge trials to show that how much you decrease not only the value of your your hemoglobin A1C, that's a marker of your sugar levels over a 6 to 8 week period, shows how it decreases the actual impact of your sugar onto your body. And you're seeing that actually that people all over the world are taking it. It's gone massive. I've once said to you before that obesity is a chronic disease, but I do believe in the next 30 to 50 years, obesity won't even be a thing that we even worry about.
Is there, in your view, any reason that the medical aids, for example, aren't covering it? I mean, don't they, from a cost point of view, achieve a huge benefit if a significant number of their clients are no longer obese?
Oh, massive. I think that they're lagging behind as usual. You know, they're going to have to get onto that train and start actually paying for these injectable drugs, because the benefits for people who are markedly overweight, who have got severe inflammatory, cardiovascular, gastrointestinal problems, or people who have got just major metabolic problems, the actual benefits that these people can achieve from these drugs, and of course the money that these medical aids can save from putting people on these drugs, is actually dramatic. So it's a matter of time before they start actually approving them.
I know in the UK it is covered if you have a BMI over, I think, 30 or whatever it would be.
That's correct, yeah. In National Health it's covered.
Would you recommend a similar kind of a concept in South Africa? Because obviously with one concern would be somebody that's got 2 or 3 kilos to lose for a wedding and decides that that this is the easy way to go.
Look, you've got to compare luxury medicine to medicine that's required. And when you're looking at somebody who's got a body mass index over 30, who's considered obese, who requires a drug for their actual maintenance of their lifestyle and for their continuity of life, it's a no-brainer. They should be actually paying for that type of thing. Whereas, as you say, for somebody who's got 1 or 2 kilograms to lose, that type of person doesn't fulfill that criteria.
That is where we do need to leave it. Dr. Anton Marburg, remind me what we're talking about coming Tuesday.
This coming Tuesday, we're going to be talking about more longevity-related issues, types of things with regarding to sleep, with regarding to actual improving your lifestyle and the consequences of lifestyle.
Absolutely, absolutely brilliant. And we have got some great suggestions from you guys. Karen M. also sent in a great one, suggestions about sun damage and skin in general, talking about melanomas. We're definitely going to be looking at that in the near future as well. Dr. Anton Marburg, thank you as always.